Stephen now discusses Habit 4, Think Win-Win. Habit 4 is based on the principle of mutual benefit and respect. Stephen explains how the attitude of win-win is a vital factor in leadership and in all of our relationships.
Habit 4, Think Win-Win, lies at the very heart of all relationships. Think Win-Win is the habit of mutual benefit. It is the habit of the golden rule. It is the habit of abundance. The underlying principle is abundance. In other words, there's plenty out there and to spare, so you don't have to be threatened by the strengths of other people. You can nurture competency around you higher than your own. It doesn't threaten you. You can share knowledge. You can share recognition. You can share gain and profit. Why? Because of abundance. But if people derive their sense of worth from being compared to the external, or from the social value system out there, or how well they stack up with others, they're always in a state of anxiety. They're always studying the pecking order. They're concerned about how they're dressed and how they look. They're into posturing and they're threatened by competency around them. They feel that if they share knowledge, they lose unique advantage. It gives others the same awareness that they have. They lose some of their power. And if they share power or gain, they feel like they have less. You know, it's like a piece of pie. There's only so much. If you get the recognition, I may not get it. I will have less. It is the paradigm of scarcity, not the paradigm of abundance. Most people have never had profound experiences with win-win people. They don't really believe there's such a thing as win-win. It's either you win or you lose. You're either tough or you're soft. You're strong or you're weak. They think in dichotomies, either or, and they'll become martyrs. They'll go for lose-win and call it win-win, particularly among so-called important people. And then they'll often take out their energy on the ones that they can control, so that they're lose-win above them and win-lose below them. Then what happens at the side all depends on the moods and the ego of the people involved. Who's winning in your marriage? And what happens when your kids take you on? Do you take them on back? What about your employees? Who's winning there? Oftentimes, win-lose can become so vindictive, so acrimonious, that people literally are drenched in ego. And they don't even care if they lose as long as the other person loses. In fact, I remember a situation where a divorcee was just into such a win-lose spirit that he was told by the judge that he was to take half of his assets and sell them, and give the other half to his ex-wife. So he took an $8,000 car, sold it for $50 so he could give her $25. You see, the win for him was twist that thing, see, make them pay. Some people almost temporarily buy so deeply into win-lose, and if both do, and they're drenched in ego, lose-lose inevitably results. In fact, in my opinion, in the long run, any win-lose approach or lose-win approach on essential jugular issues in the long run eventually will be useless and end up in lose-lose. Remember, principles ultimately will govern, so that if there's a spirit of acrimoniousness, a spirit of vindictiveness, a spirit of getting back, of getting even, it becomes a very deep violation with the universal principle of equity, of fairness, and of the golden rule. Can you begin to see that the roots of the win-win mindset comes deep out of the private victory of habits 1, 2, and 3? You see, if the private victory is real and sincere, you're at peace. You're centered. You're anchored. You're rooted. You're established. Your ego's not involved. Down deep, you're invulnerable. So you can afford to be vulnerable on the surface of your life and go for win-win. So habit 4, to think win-win, comes from the principle of abundance, not scarcity, meaning that the pie gets larger and larger and larger. In what way? Because through the interaction on a win-win basis, a transformation begins to take place in our natures to where we tap into more creativity, more resourcefulness, more ingenuity, more wisdom, more intelligence, deeper and deeper into the bowels of the organization. We see the problem differently. We define it differently. We come up with new alternatives that do tap into abundance instead of the one we'd been considering, that only was based upon scarcity. So that deeper in our marriage, deeper in our family life and in our organizations, this kind of win-win spirit can eventually bring about synergy, so that ultimately the whole is truly greater than the sum of the parts. We'll talk about this under Habit 6 later. Such an abundance mentality increases knowledge, increases power, and the earlier fears become unfounded. And if you maintain the attitude of thinking win-win, and the skill and method of Habit 5 to seek first to understand, then to be understood, you will create such interaction, such mutual understanding that it leads to the fruit of Habit 6 called synergy. New insights, new alternatives, new learnings, new heights. But it all has to start with the person. They have to begin to say, I'm going to go for win-win with people. One man said to me one time, Stephen, come on. I mean, the world just isn't like that. It sounds good, but really, it's a little idealistic. It's not like that out there in the real world. The world is not into cooperation. The world is into competition. So win-win is just too much an ivory tower of theory and abstraction and idealism. So I said to him, I need to listen to you a little more. He said, all right, I'll tell you. We were renegotiating our lease arrangements with the mall operators and owners, and you counseled us as our consultant to go for win-win. We did. We were open, we were conciliatory, had a win-win spirit. They saw that as weakness, as softness. And then they took us to the cleaners. I said, well, why did you go for lose-win? He said, we didn't, we went for win-win. I said, didn't you just say they took you to the cleaners? Yeah. In other words, you lost and they won. That's right. Well, what's that called? I mean, really, it was like the lights had come on. He realized that what he called win-win was really lose-win. You see, lose-win is not win-win at all. People who think in dichotomies believe that lose-win, being nice, being soft, is win-win because they haven't really experienced the creation of a new option, a new alternative that is far better than win-lose or lose-win, called win-win. In other words, my friends, win-win is so much tougher. It's much tougher than win-lose. Why? In the early stages, you have to be tough on yourself. You have to cultivate the empathy, the sensitivity, the openness, the consideration, and at the same time, to not capitulate, to not give in, to not give up. Win-win basically means we consent together. Now, sometimes it's not practical. I know that. So you merely agree to disagree agreeably. We call this no deal. So you go for win-win or you go for no deal. It's not going to work out. I'm not going to sell to you. I'm not going to hire you. I'm not going to buy from you or whatever. So no deal is certainly one of the options. Maybe at a later time you can come together in a win-win way on another issue. So if you're deeply committed to win-win or no deal, you can be absolutely open and honest. You have no hidden negotiation techniques. You just basically say, I want us both to win. That's not a win as I see it, but I need to understand why it is a win for you. Let me understand. Then back and forth, you try to understand each other. And as you do that, genuinely, sincerely, something very dynamic happens. You move from a transactional to a transformational relationship. And the spirit of empathic understanding has a magical effect upon the human spirit and upon the quality of the relationship.
This completes the second CD. Please insert the third CD to continue with the program.